And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
Doe.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We had Benny the Butcher and Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills on the television show. So, of course, we have exclusive content with our friend of the show, Benny the Butcher. We're going to get to that later. But, Jalen, in its short television show, only 22, 23 minutes of content on a day like today, there's just so much to discuss. I'm so happy that me and you take the time to do the podcast exclusives because there's a whole tournament that's happening. I don't know if you know this, but there's 15 other teams besides Michigan also in the Sweet 16. So I figured I figured we would get into some of that. While Michigan, number one seed, beat LSU in a back and forth game, is one of those games to me that I think galvanizes yourself and gets you tournament ready, because they had their back against the ropes a couple times during that game and bounced back. But we talked about Gonzaga on the television show, but I watched the Baylor-Wisconsin game. Baylor Bears looked good. Like, that wasn't even close. Like, the Baylor's just been tearing this up. What do you think about Baylor's chances as a number one seed, not just to get to the Final Four, but to win it all?
I like Baylor a lot. And each time you've asked me this question all season, I mentioned them because of their athleticism, their toughness, in particular, their ability to defend. Mm-hmm. Their backcourt, they disrupt your offensive sets. They make you turn your back, and all of a sudden you're late in the shot clock and they're getting low percentage shots, or they're getting runouts because you have bad possessions. And so that team, the Gonzaga team, along with my Wolverines, as much as I root for my squad, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those other squads actually won it all as well.
And I think this isn't breaking news. I think Gonzaga is the best team in the tournament. But one thing we know about the tournament under normal conditions is anything can happen. And especially under these conditions, I think that the bubble environment has led to some more surprising results than we've had in other years. But it's always absolute chaos in the tournament. But now that we get down to only 16 teams, you know, we'll see which cream will rise to the top. But Jalen, I do have to mention this. We talked about it briefly on the program. Not exactly a great showing for the Big Ten. You know, Illinois looks so good. And Iowa had Garza. They got bounced. Wisconsin got waxed by Baylor. Michigan is the lone team left from the Big Ten. What does that say about your conference?
It says Floyd Mayweather's a billion-dollar athlete for a reason. He selectively chose his opponents so he didn't take a pounding and end up with his motor skills like the legend Muhammad Ali, who ended up with Parkinson's, or the legend Thomas the Hitman Hearns. And watching those two people be gladiators in the ring, and rest in peace, Marvin Hagler, what that also did is made people shy away from boxing. And this is why teams like Clemson in college football, if they continue to recruit the way they've recruited and players ignore the fact that Dabo Sweeney doesn't want you to use your name and likeness to get paid, or Dabo Sweeney doesn't want you to take a knee during the national anthem because he thinks it's un-American, that's why they have an easier path playing in the ACC than the teams in the SEC, because you cancel one another out. And that's what I'm seeing from the Big Ten. You play a regular season, and then remember, because of COVID, it's an abbreviated season. So there were times when Michigan and Michigan State played each other back to back. And then you get to the conference tournament, which is just a money grab. If I have a regular season champion, but he doesn't get the bid, I'll play this money grab conference tournament so that we fight for the automatic bid. And so now all of those teams playing against one another, and you enter the NCAA tournament, they're punch drunk. They're gassed. And I ain't here to make excuses clearly for the other teams in the league. I'm just telling you that's just how it works when you're playing sports.
Absolutely. It's been a very entertaining tournament thus far. And I did something that I'm proud of, Jalen Rose. I haven't gambled a single dollar on the tournament so far. Haven't gambled a single dollar in the tournament so far. That's going to change. It's definitely going to change. But I have not gambled on the tournament yet. But now that I've seen the games and I've got a little idea of who's who and what's what, I'm about to dip my toe in the water.
All right, I have a very important question.
Huh?
Have you filled out an NCAA bracket?
I did not fill out a bracket this year.
I didn't either.
Some years I don't do it.
Me too.
Because brackets rarely bring me joy.
Me you know? Too.
They rarely bring me joy. I'm rarely excited about my bracket, feeling good about it, checking on it. It usually just, I fill it out, and then a day and a half into the tournament, it just makes me sad. So why do I want to do that to myself? I'd rather make some smart plays, educated plays on individual games and player performances than be, you know, I'm really supposed to pick Georgia Tech, Loyola Chicago. I didn't see either one of those teams play. So how am I supposed to pick it? How am I supposed to pick it? Do you think the lack of blue blood, big name, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky programs is going to be bad for the tournament?
Nah, that's only said by people who went to those schools. No, that's only said by people who have been covering it so very long that they think that it's only four teams in the NCAA and five players. No. We still gonna be watching. We still gonna be excited. We still gonna be filling out our brackets. We still gonna be waiting to hear one shiny moment. You reach for the sun. One shiny moment. So it don't matter. Especially if Michigan in it. Oh my goodness. Especially Michigan in it.
I wanna see Michigan go all the way. I really wanna see it. Have you texted Juwan?
Of course.
What do you say?
So, for those that don't know, I have like one of my best friends that's like a brother who's an NCAA coach. His name is Juwan Howard. And we've been friends since we've been 13 years old. So we got all kinds of things that we text about. And 98% of them should never get repeated. Now, the other 2% is what I'll say. We gonna need our energy guys, is what he said to me, direct quote. And let me tell you who they are on our team. Wagner, Brown, Johns. Look at all three of their stat lines after the game. Brooks kept us in it in the first half by knocking down threes. The captain stepped up. But coach told me, if those energy guys show up, we gonna win. And that's exactly what happened.
I love Johns. One thing about this Michigan team is they're deep. They have like a 10-11 guy rotation. Deep. Like he doesn't just like play eight dudes. He throws everything at them. Good for them. I'm excited about this Michigan team. Jalen, now we're going to turn our attention to the NBA. The trade deadline is approaching. Now, this season is unique because there's a lot of gray area. There's a handful of contending teams that want to add a piece or two, but those contending teams don't have a ton of young players and draft picks that they could offer to a team that's on the other side of contention. And because of the play-in tournament, and because of the way that the standings are, especially in the East, there's only like five teams that have no chance of making a play-in game. So there's a lot of gray area between buying and selling, which I think will not lead to too much action. But there's a couple things that I do think will happen that I want to get your take on. Could you see Kyle Lowry? $30 million this year from the Raptors, but that's an expiring contract, which makes him interesting as a rental to another team. and also allows the Raptors to get something back for him because they likely won't re-sign him at a number like that. Do you? There's two teams that sort of seem to be the front of potential landing spots for Kyle Lowry. That's the Miami Heat and the 76ers. Could you see him wearing one of those uniforms in a week?
I don't like him with the Heat. I like him with the Sixers. The reason why I don't like him with the Heat is because they have so many players that need the ball. Bam, for example, is a terrific playmaker, and he's their big. Jimmy's their wing. He's their best player. He needs the ball. They're going to have to give up something to get Kyle, of course, but I like him better in Philly because they're going to need another playmaker and shot maker when the play break down, knowing that Joel's a big and knowing that Simmons isn't shooting outside the paint. They're going to need one more shot maker. I like him a lot better with Philly, and that just so happens to be his hometown team, and he went to college at Villanova.
Yeah, I mean, Miami would likely be giving up someone like Nunn to get him, but they've got Nunn, Robinson, Dragic, Hero. Like, they've got Jimmy. They've got a lot of players that should be on ball, and I think that's a little crowded for Kyle Lowry to be added into. But, you know, you've got kind of Shake Milton. You could take some of his minutes. Seth Curry is better off ball. I think that he is a much better fit with the 76ers. And with Joel Embiid down and coming back, I think the timing would be right. So we'll see if they make that happen. Now, the Houston Rockets lost 20 games in a row. And Christian Wood was out for a long time. That had something to do with it. But they traded for Victor Oladipo, who's at the end of his deal. I think that after this season, if I'm the Houston Rockets organization and Raphael Stone, I don't know how excited I would be to re-sign Victor Oladipo and run this back. Do you think they move him, and where could you see him ending up?
Anybody that's listening to this show for the last handful of months, pull up the episode of when Victor Oladipo got traded to the Rockets. I said that he was going to be a rental player. And they didn't have to win. They didn't have to lose 20 straight for that to happen. And you say why? It's because once you mortgage everything that you're doing, letting James Harden go, you're relegated to either try to get those picks to turn into a player that's already under contract or see if those picks can become a great player and actually use them. And so Victor Oladipo doesn't fit into that long-term planning. John Wall doesn't either. It's just that when you lose 20 in a row, now you ain't moving him because nobody taking your call for him. So you keeping Christian Woods. That's the only player that they trying to keep. Everybody else, hopefully they renting or leasing.
Eric Gordon comes to mind. I've got a landing spot for Victor Oladipo, Mr. Rose.
Where, sir?
Denver Nuggets.
I like it a lot.
Denver Nuggets. Now, I don't know if Michael Porter Jr. for a rental Victor Oladipo is worth it if you're the Nuggets because there's so much potential there, but they could put Gary Harris in a pick or, you know, Will Barton and Gary Harris or something like that that could entice the Rockets to pull the trigger. And I think that Victor Oladipo would be a really good fit there in the backcourt with Jamal Murray and, of course, running the offense through Jokic. I think that he could fortify them for a playoff run like we saw last year. That's I don't know if that's my prediction, but looking at the chessboard, that to me is the landing spot that makes the most sense for Victor Oladipo.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Jalen, before we move on, there's two things I have to mention. First, don't miss the biggest, baddest rematch at UFC 260 as heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic and number one contender Francis Ngannou meet for the second time. UFC 260 on March 27th is exclusively available at ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPN.com/PPV to order. And check out ESPN's College Hoop podcast Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. This week, Seth Greenberg and Dan Dukich are recapping the first weekend of NCAA tournament action and previewing the Sweet 16. You can listen to Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
There's another team that needs to be discussed, and this team is clearly going to be sellers as we get into the deadline. It seems like they've been the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference for the past 10 years. And of course, I'm talking about the Orlando Magic. Seems like Orlando Magic in the 8-1 first round matchup seems to happen every single year, and they lose in 5 games. They've got Aaron Gordon. They've got Evan Fournier, a couple of players that you don't expect them to re-sign. So they probably want to get something back for them this week at the trade deadline. Could you see them moving one or both of those players? Do you have any idea where they would end up?
I can see them moving one and or both of those players. Fournier is a scorer and a bucket getter, underrated one. Mm-hmm. And so you add him to I'm just thinking of a landing spot. I would say for Gordon, for the last couple of years, I've wanted to see him with the Pacers. I wanted to see Gordon with them. He fit in so perfect with them. So perfect with them. He's an improved shooter, but he need to be with an effort team that's going to play a little slower.
So bonus, Gordon Turner as your front court?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can probably just have two of those guys on the floor at any given time, depending on the matchup.
Yeah. We blocking shots. Yeah, we catching lobs. Sabonis, good high-low passer. Yeah, Turner makes threes. Yeah, absolutely. And for Fournier, how about a squad like
Clippers?
I like the Clippers for him too.
They don't have anything to give away, though. They basically only have Luke Kennard. They have, like, no cap space. They have no desirable contracts that they can move. Like, they're in a tough spot. They need to improve.
Well, I told you.
They need to improve at the point guard spot, but they can't. Like, Kyle Lowry would be perfect for them, but there's just nothing them to offer for Kyle Lowry.
Give away all four of those guys and get Fournier.
If you're the Raptors, why would you say yes? Or if you're the Magic, yes. And, of course, the four guys – that Jalen's talking about is the four people that he wants to turn into one person is Pat Bev, Reggie Jackson, Lou Williams, and Luke Kennard. All four of which each has one individual skill that they do great, but have weaknesses as well. I'm not even sure what Reggie Jackson does great. I'm sorry to Reggie Jackson and the Jackson
family. He drives right.
Oh, there you go. There you go. He's in that. And then there's looking at a team that's on the edge of contention. I don't know if it's fair to call the Boston Celtics title contenders, but, you know, anything can happen in a playoff series. I didn't think that the Heat were title contenders last year in the bubble, and we know what happened there, 6-game finals.
Yeah.
The Celtics need to do something. Like, they're broken. The Celtics are broken. How do you fix the Celtics with a buyout candidate or a trade at the deadline?
They need Andre Drummond. They need JaVale McGee. They needed that. The last couple of years, the Celtics, when you in games, you're going to have three people on the floor. You're going to have Marcus Smart, Tatum, and Brown, which means you're going to need somebody up front with height and bulk. That's why the Warriors, even though they have Draymond Green, a defensive player of the year, still drafted Wiseman because it's a tall man's game. The Boston Celtics tall guys are just like the Clippers point guards. I wish I could turn all three or four of them into one player. I do this a lot when I'm evaluating teams. When I see teams continue to try to reach for players as opposed to actually solidifying a spot. And that's what I think about the Celtics at the 5 spot. Band-aid, 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 band-aid. Tristan Thompson, who thought that was going to work? Like, did somebody think that Tristan Thompson, who once he became a Kardashian, had all zeros in the NBA Finals, was going to now be the Celtics' answer at center 3 years later? Like, come on, man. Like, in the Time Lord, he let you know from the beginning you can't rely on him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, that's his nickname. Can't rely. Can't get right. Time Lord, can't get right. He'll block a couple of shots, and then he'd be late for 5 weeks. And then Tice. He seems like he should make threes, but he always misses them. So I wish those three were one player.
Jalen, I want to talk to you about something that's very important to me. The Ghostface and Raekwon battle. Now, Reg the Ledge is our audio producer, and he tweeted something that kind of hit home for me. Little hard to find. You should just be streaming there right on Instagram. Just go to the Versus account. There it is. Live stream. They signed a big deal with Triller. Next thing you know, I'm like, do I have to download an app or something? Where's Ghost and Ray? Did you have a similar experience?
I did not. I went straight to Instagram, went straight to Versus, hit right on their thumbnail, and I watched it. Had zero issues.
Okay, well, you're more technically savvy than me. But they also announced a lineup of upcoming Versus matchups. And there's one date on the calendar that really stuck out to me. You know,
420.
You know what they're doing on 420, right?
420.
What are they doing on 420? Tell the people. Give the people what they want.
Redman Gilla and Takal. Takal. Method Man and Redman 420 Versus.
See, that one's giving me real Raekwon Ghost vibes because they're obviously collaborators, put out albums together, go on tour together, do shows together, movies together. But in the battle environment, they still want to win. We saw with Ghost and Ray, like they're still trying to win. So I'm excited about that. And their personalities are so fun. And something tells me it being 420, there might be some medicinal involved. What do you think? You think there'll be some medicinal involved?
They might be the first act that just flat out smokes during the Versus and don't try to hide it.
I'm going to say that there'll be someone smoking something on camera the entire time, however long it goes. I'm excited about that one. And that is a matchup that we are going to get. A matchup that doesn't look like we are going to get is the rumored Tyson Holyfield fight. I can't believe I'm saying that in the year 2021. But there was some talk after Tyson and Roy Jones fought, and Tyson looked pretty spry and powerful. And Holyfield representatives say Mike Tyson declined $25 million offer to fight Memorial Day weekend. Do you believe that? I do not.
David Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at Mike Tyson's house after fights in Vegas. One of them after a fight against Evander Holyfield. And I'll say this because I love Mike Tyson. And I've told you I've never seen him this happy as I've seen him the last handful of years. I said to you, I said to him, I said to anybody who'll listen. But you know what Mike got now? Commercial appeal. Mike's hard lemonade and movie money and all of that. You know what he don't want? Those lumps I saw on his head at his Vegas house for fighting Evander Holyfield. The same guy that he bit his ear. That's not the No. We're not doing that.
I don't think Mike's Hard Lemonade has anything to do with Mike Tyson. Am I wrong? Someone tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think Mike's Hard Lemonade has anything to do with Mike Tyson, but I liked how you added that in there. But yeah, I think I'd be surprised if he declined a $25 million offer. This famously happens in the sport of boxing where one side says that they're trying really hard to get a fight done and the other side says they are too. Kind of like the Bears when they leaked that they were trying to give up all this for Russell Wilson just to let their fan base know that they
were
trying.
I'll give you the real numbers.
Oh, you got the numbers? You got the numbers?
I got the real numbers.
Yep. Oh, here's the numbers.
If everybody sell out everything at top dollar, we'll get $25 million.
Mm.
Total.
Best case scenario. Yeah.
if we sell out the arena without COVID, if we sell out the pay-per-views, if we get this title sponsor, if we get this venue to write a check for this amount, if we get all of this stuff to happen, all of us could split $25 million.
You know what?
That's what that means.
I got my money's worth at the last event. I got my money's worth at that last event. I mean, they had good concerts. I thought the Jones-Tyson fight was super entertaining. Nate Robb getting knocked out led to a bunch of funny memes on the internet that you made me feel guilty about enjoying. So, and there's that white dude who got beat up for 10 rounds but refused to go down. I forgot his name. That was a wild fight. So I'll be happy to see Mike Tyson fight again. Gentlemen who run the ESPYs that I had the pleasure of being introduced to and chatting to at the after party a little bit. This guy named Jensen Karp. I'm following him on social media. And, you know, I got three little kids, so cereal is a big part of our life. And he posted what he found inside of his Cinnamon Toast Crunch bag. 4 shrimp tails. Something that could be like rodent droppings. And all kinds of strings and weird stuff in there. So, Mr. Rose, he posts these 4 shrimp tails. And the cover-up is always worse than the crime. What did General Mills reply to him? What did they reply to him? They said, after an investigation, those are sugar clumps. I know you saw these pictures, Jalen. Those are shrimp tails. Honestly, those are shrimp tails. It's like me looking at a spoon and you telling me it's a fork. Like, it's a spoon. I know what a spoon looks like.
And this is a perfect example of what we were saying about chicken and waffles. Like, I don't like chicken tenders, and I don't like syrup on my chicken, so therefore I don't love chicken and waffles. I love seafood. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I don't want them together.
I don't want them together either.
You know, I don't want them, and for them to insult our intelligence by that response just makes them lose a customer. But I have to tell you this, if you really want to like say that you're not going to be a customer of General Mills, just so you know, they own 33% of your kid's life.
That's a good point.
So if you really say, oh, you're not rocking with them, that they 33% of the products you have for your kids, they own.
Well, my wife does something that my mom did when I was a kid. She's like, oh, you want Frosted Flakes? We have Frosted Flakes. Oh, you want Cinnamon Toast Crunch? We got Cinnamon Toast Crunch. No, we got it, but we don't have like the actual Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We've got like cinnamon squares, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like glazed flakes. Yeah. So that's my wife. So we got these big bags of cereal that she'll then put in like a fancy container and make the kids think that they're eating Frosted Flakes with Tony the Tiger on top, but they're not. And they're starting to figure it out. And let me tell you something. The generic cereals don't hit the same. I can tell. The fake Cinnamon Toast Crunch doesn't hit the same as the General Mills hit Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Another thing, Jalen, I'm not scared of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'll still rock with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Just because someone got some shrimp tails in one box doesn't mean that I'm going to stop eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Because, you know, what is even better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Jalen Rose? What's better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
What's better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Golden Grahams.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk. It's like its own little dessert, its own little surprise gift at the end after you eat the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I do like Golden Grahams. I haven't rocked with Golden Grahams for quite some time. That's one of the best things about having kids. Sure, when you have kids, you'll never sleep again. You'll get fat. You won't be good at basketball anymore. And just life will just be a different experience that's more draining than exciting. But let me tell you something. Having cereal back in your life is a big win. It's a big win. It's a big win. I promised exclusive Benny the Butcher content. Jalen, who's coming?
The Butcher coming.
Here it is. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing exclusive podcast content with our guests outside of the restrictions of television. So you've got the plugs I meant to out right now. And you've got bars on your own. But of course, when you got a project like this coming out, you're working with Harry Fraud, you got to bring in some people. But you brought in some heavy hitters for this one. How do you book the features? How do you work with these artists? And tell us who's on the album.
Man, I got the legend Fat Joe on there. I got French Montana, Jim Jones. Man, I got Rick Hyde on there. 2 Chainz, man. That's my boy. It's just about... me and Harry relationships, you know what I'm saying? Harry got a relationship with French, and I got a relationship with Jim, and Got Fat Joe on there. I like to reach out to the legends, man. I wanna be up on Mount Rushmore. To do that, you gotta be in the field with the legends. So that's what that's about.
I just appreciate the fact that Griselda represent real hip hop. And for me, you guys remind me of the Locks so much. So shout out your brothers. Introduce everybody who may not know who Conway is, who may not know who West Side Gunn is. Tell the world about your brothers.
Man, Griselda, I'm a third of the Griselda Collective. You got West Side Gunn. He's the brains. He the brains of the whole operation. He the reason why you hear Benny the Butcher, why you hear Conway. And then you got Conway the Machine. And first and foremost, these dudes are my family. They're my cousins. You got Conway the Machine. He's like the muscle. He's like the Shaquille O'Neal on the team, the Draymond Green, the Dennis Rodman, you know what I'm saying? And then you got me, you know what I'm saying? I'm like the finesser, it's Benny the Butcher, you know what I mean? And together, we Griselda, straight hip hop, and we've been doing this for a long time. And like I said, shout out West Side Gunn, because it's no Griselda without him. Same thing for Conway, no Griselda without him. And the boys put in the work, and they taught me well. They taught me well.
And much like the Locks, who are not from New York City, but from Yonkers, you guys are not from New York City, but from Buffalo, but you've been fully embraced by New York City. Like, New York City has now claimed Griselda as a sort of a New York act. What does it feel like to be embraced by New York City?
Man, it's dope, man. You know, when you're coming from a small city, when there's a big city hours away, we always been looked down on and everything like that. But for them to accept us, that says a lot, you know what I mean? That they accept us in their world and their fraternity of hip hop. And that's big, you know what I mean? And we appreciative of that, and we responsible for it. That's why we putting out this pressure every time we get a chance.
And the pressure don't stop, because Black Sopranos is next. Introduce the world to that project.
Oh man, the Black Soprano family, we got Rick Hyde, we got Heem, you know what I'm saying? And then you know you got me running point. Taking the things that I learned from West Side Gunn, applying it to my own situation, and we all the family. So, you know what I mean? We cooking. It's gonna be an interesting year. We cooking.
So we're doing the television show, and at the end, I could tell there's some of the thought that you had on your mind, and the producer's telling me to rap, but you had one more thing you wanted to say, and then you challenged my man to a basketball game at 21. Like, yo, you know, he's 6'8", used to play in the league, right? Tell me about your basketball game and where this confidence come from.
I heard him say he still got it, he can still ball. So if we play to 11, and if I get 4 points off, I don't want to hear nothing. I'm going to be a legend. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a legend. That's it.
It depends on if we're going to be in the studio before we hoop. Because if we're in the studio first and I start listening to some bars, I may get excited. It may be some adult beverages, maybe some secondhand. So my jumper might not be as accurate.
Studio, we gotta go to the studio first then. I gotta even, yo, Jacoby, I gotta even that up.
Good luck. Benny, you said you're out in the West shooting a video. What video are you shooting right now?
It's a song called Money on the Table. It's actually Belly's song. He signed to Rock Nation too. He signed to EXO, a talented artist who done a lot of writing and done a lot with other artists. And it was a pleasure working with him. Me and him, we bonded like this. He reached out to me, and it's a dope video. It's a big budget video. It's like, I can't even explain. It's like the Matrix, you know what I'm saying? I can't wait for people to see. It's coming out April.
And that's one of the things I noticed that you guys do that I appreciate. The video actually matched the bars.
Gotcha.
Is that something that y'all do on purpose?
Yeah, you know, we big on art, whether if it's musical art or visual art, or if it's clothes that we put on. You know, I'm wearing art right now, you know what I'm saying?
Dope.
We just big on art, and we pay a lot of attention to that, you know what I'm saying? And our video directors, our creative directors, they know we pay a lot of attention to that. So, you know, they take the responsibility of trying to put our words on camera, and they do a good job of it.
Well, it does feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic. And what does it feel like? Normally you put out something like The Plugs I Met Too, you can go tour it and you can go touch and feel the audience and sort of like, you know, make appearances and go to radio stations. But with COVID, all that kind of gets shut down. So how do you promote yourself under these conditions?
I mean, just social media, stay tapped in with the fans, put music out constantly so, you know, they don't get bored with it, and, you know, do as much as traveling as I can at the same time staying safe and staying within the boundaries of, you know what I'm saying, the COVID restrictions. But, you know, it's hard, you know what I'm saying? I know that y'all know it's hard, but, you know, you got to do it because it's like, for people like us, we're necessity workers. You know, people need this, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, man, I like that I put my music out and people waiting for it. They can't wait to see me tour. So I'm just trying to do my part.
I have to ask you a question as an artist. And as a fan of yours, I really appreciate this. You constantly give us new music and new bars. Normally, when people become number one artists like yourself, they're really selective about the songs that they're gonna put out. You constantly give us new music. Why is that important for you to continue to do that for your fans?
I think it's a combination of me being my age that I haven't, me being my age and hungry. You know, I'm 36, I haven't got on basically till I was like 32, 33, so I'm still hungry. I still got a lot of fight in me. I still got a lot of proving to do. And you know what I mean? I got a lot to say. I got a lot to get out. I'm dropping again this year, but I'm just hungry, man. I'm just hungry, and I got a lot in the tank left.
Well, as fans of your music, we really appreciate that. And fans of yours, it's something that we know is going to happen. It's happened to us before, is you're going to blow up. You're going to stop showing up on Jalen Jacoby. You're going to start doing First Take. You're going to start doing Get Up. No, it's happened to us so many times. So I just want to let you know right now, don't forget who supported you from the jump.
Nah, I appreciate y'all. I'm so thankful for y'all. I'm rocking with y'all. Y'all going to see, man. We locked in.
That's you know, my name, man. We appreciate you.
My biological name is Jeremy, so we got Jalen Jacoby and Jeremy. I fit right in. Oh. You gotta make my permanent middle box.
Yes, indeed. Done and done. You know, we appreciate you, family.
Thank you so much for coming on. You're welcome to come back anytime. I want to thank Manny the Butcher and Dan Dawkins for coming by representing Buffalo, the Buffalo Kids. Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. So right now, we need you to call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. You can ask us about anything in the world. We'd love to hear from you.
Love, love, love.
Let's hear the first voicemail for today.
Hey, Jalen. What's up, Jacoby? What's up, Reg the Ledge? Cedric from Charlotte. And my wife and I have a question for you. So we have a six-month-old son, and he's coming up on his one-year haircut. Time to get my man's right, get him a nice cut. Now, to give you some background, my wife is Filipino, and I look more like Jalen. Here's the problem. My son's hair came out with a very thin kind of Asian texture, and it's slightly curly at the top. So my question is, how do I approach finding a barber for my son? Now, I could take him over to where I get my hair cut, but, you know, they don't typically see that kind of texture. So I really want to set my man's up for success. So any help that y'all can provide, am I looking for a barber? Am I looking for a stylist? Because I know he's not, you know, getting any kind of fade or anything like that. I think he'll need scissors, but I'm not 100% sure. So keep getting them checked. Keep giving the people what they want. Peace.
Cedric from Charlotte, you've come to the right place. My wife looks like Jalen. I look like me. My kid's hair, especially my son, is straight. Just straight white guy hair. So I don't think it's that deep because he's only 1 year old. I think you're going to have to really pick a side of the fence at some point. But here's what I do with a one-year-old. You go to the kids' barbershop where they sit in the fire truck and they watch cartoons the whole time. Because just getting him to keep his head straight for 20, 30 minutes, that's what you're really looking for out of this one. So it's not that deep yet. But yes, I think you're going a mix of scissors and clippers with more of a, traditional barbershop experience than a black barbershop experience. I could make a case for the other side of that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts first, Mr. Rose.
Rest in peace to my late mother, Jeannie Cassandra Rose, because the name Jason or James just would have hit different than Jalen. It just would have hit different. You know, it wouldn't have been as special. Rest in peace to my biological father, James Walker, who, by the way, I inherited the hairline. And I have so many thoughts on this topic, and I wanted to thank my parents because it made me realize that, man, I'm going to be a part of a lot of notable things as a member of this earth, and it makes me happy. Here's what I'll tell you. First and foremost, this is a controversial thing that I'm about to say. Ooh!
Oh, no.
This is almost like gray shirting. This is almost like me looking at my son as a seventh grader and being like, you know what? Oh, we about to do seventh grade again. Like, I would do that, just so you know. Let me tell you something else I would do. I would let my 1 or 2 year old son wolf. I wouldn't even necessarily get him a haircut yet.
Wow.
And let me tell you why. Because I want him to have hair and a hairline in his 30s, 40s, and 50s. And just like playing football, you don't want him to start taking those hits so early. Trust me. People see me now and be like, oh, he got hair. He got a cheat code. No, my hair is thin. The reason why I'm able to keep my hair is because I wore it bald for so long. I wore a bald head for like 8 years. And so now I can grow it out. I would say if you can avoid getting your son lined up, think about it like playing football young. It's taking less hits. Number one. Number two, I knew you would love that one.
You have such intense, passionate thoughts on this topic.
I knew you'd love that one. The second thing is you guys underestimate the art that is called barbering. Okay? They're not just cutting your hair. They're grooming you. They're styling you. They're not just cutting your hair. Barbers sit you in their chair and they decide the length of your hair. They suggest to you what length you should use, what color you should use, what style you should go. They're suggesting that to you. It's not just a barber. So you don't have to choose should you get a barber or a stylist. Get somebody that's both. Get you a two-way player. Don't just get somebody that only shoots the three, or don't get you somebody that only plays D. Get you somebody that can actually shampoo your hair. Get you somebody that can actually use a razor.
And scissors.
Can actually use scissors.
I think if you went, I'd say like 80, 90% of people in a black barbershop are going to be able to give your son a cut.
Correct. And so here's the other thing you got to do. Don't be a David Jacoby. Scout. Don't just let nobody touch that Mona Lisa head of that mixed beautiful son of yours. That's unmanicured grass. That's like Ramo when he saw the white train in Beach Street. And he was like, a white one. It's a blank canvas. Don't just trust that blank canvas to anybody. That's a virgin. You scout somebody to cut that head near and far. Go to their Instagram. Go to their shop. Watch them cut other people before you sit your son in the chair. That's my advice. Keep us posted.
We got time for one more voicemail. Appreciate your call, Cedric. Let's listen to who's next.
What up, though? Shout out, Reg. This question is for Jalen and Jalen only. So, Jalen, March 31st is coming up. It's a very significant day for you. And I know because me and your wife both share the same birthday. Now, my question is to you, what do you have planned for the day? I'm taking my son to Venice Beach, and we're going to hit the wave. So I want to see what you're doing and what you're doing for Molly. So shout out to Molly. Happy birthday to my twin. Let me know.
Oh, this is easy. This is easy. Don't try to be Michael B. Jordan. I'm trying to tell you guys right now, if you ever want to be in a relationship and you start to set the bar so very high, eventually it gets too high where you can't even jump over it. And so what I'm going to do is whatever celebratory things that I do, you ain't going to see. You ain't going to see. We're going to keep it offline. Because number one, when you make it to the league and you become famous for as long as I've been famous and you've been as rich for as long as I have, people don't celebrate what you do for yourself. I can't buy me nothing and put it on the internet. Oh, my goodness. I'm such a bad friend, such a bad family member. I'm such a bad person from the city that I had the nerve to buy myself something. Oh, my God. Oh, man. So let me buy my significant other something? Oh, man. So that stuff stays as much off the internet as possible. Now, here's what you should do that I'm going to do. Start drinking your juice 72 hours in advance.
I got Jalen juice.
Start your juice in 72 hours in advance.
You're wild.
Telling you, you'd be a different man between the hours of like 1 a.m. and like 5 a.m. See, Jacoby got 3 kids, so he's a dead body at those hours.
Sure thing. I'm out.
Yeah, he's a dead body at those hours. You know, the Jalen juice, it really kicks in at that time of the morning. You become a superhuman individual. So that now becomes a part of your birthday celebration.
You heard it first. Get the Jalen juice going 72 hours in advance. I want to thank our callers. I want to thank Benny the Butcher. I want to thank Deion Dawkins. And I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. We always want to give our podcast listeners podcast exclusive content because you guys were the first ones, first ones to ever hear Jalen and Jacoby. Started a podcast 10 years ago, a decade ago, Here we are. So we appreciate you so much. We're going to have a couple more days where we're preempted. We will be back on Friday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.